Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning. It is June 17, 2021. Good to be with you on this Thursday in the middle of June, and hope you're having a great day. Lots to talk about. I do want to let you know off the top of the hour, there's a big heat wave that's hitting the country, so be safe. We'll have a story about that in the news. And they're saying, in terms of the national weather forecast, that this could spread into other parts of the country, including the central part of the U.S., and so keep an eye out for that because it can be very, very severe. And if you know of any elderly or folks living alone, make sure that they are properly prepared. We'll have a little bit more detail in the news, as I mentioned, coming up. Also, being that this is a month of June, after the news on a Thursday morning, we're going to be checking in with our dear friends Greg and Julie Alexander of the Alexander House, responding not only for their monthly Mornings on Marriage segments with us here on Catholic Connection and EWTM, but also responding with their thoughts and hopes for a beautiful message put out by the Holy Father earlier this month. It was part of his prayer intentions for June. He put out a video message on the beauty of marriage, and Catholic News Agency actually did a great story on that earlier in the month. But it really was very meaningful in terms of encouraging more people to take the sacrament of marriage seriously. He asked people to pray throughout June for young people preparing for the lifelong journey of marriage. Getting married and sharing one's life is something beautiful, the Holy Father said in a video message published June 4th. Demanding journey, at times difficult and at times complicated, but it's worth making the effort. The Vatican releasing the video message to present the Pope's prayer intention for June. The Pope is asking people to pray that couples preparing for marriage with the support of a Christian community may grow in love, generosity, faithfulness, and patience. And I think him saying with the support of a Christian community is a very important, because when you are saying yes to marriage and when you are going before the Lord and before the church community, you are making a public witness and a public statement. And many people don't understand that, nor do they understand actually what the church teaches on the sacrament of marriage. I certainly didn't, and I know Julie and Greg didn't either. But we'll be discussing all of this with Julie and Greg Alexander and the Alexander House and find out the latest about their big venture in Texas. How's that going? And when they expect to move into that particular location for special retreats for marriages and for couples that are struggling. So a little bit more about what the Pope had to say coming up right after the break with Julie and Greg Alexander. And then we have a little treat for you. I think you'll enjoy it. So 2 weeks ago today, this very day, 2 weeks ago, I was reporting live, if you remember, from the wonderful North American College in Rome. And in the first hour of the program, which is carried on the internet and on Ave Maria Radio, I had the opportunity to interview a young Swiss guard, a delightful young man who was so dedicated to the Lord and to the church and was very serious about discerning a vocation in serving the Lord in the unique way in the Swiss Guard. He has a military background and a very faithful young man. As a matter of fact, he was wearing a rosary ring, which I spotted right away and started to ask him about his journey and his prayer life. And I think you'll enjoy it. I did not get a chance to share it with you in this hour of the program, so I wanted to replay it. And the young Swiss guard, his name is Jean-André Bossi. And it really was, I think, a beautiful testimony to the important process of discernment and what leads one to make a decision, because the life of a Swiss guard is not easy. It's a very physical as well as spiritual responsibility, but he took it very seriously, and he shares some pretty deep insights into why he wanted to do this and serve the church in this particular way. So again, that was recorded. We actually did it live for the first hour of the show 2 weeks ago when we were at the North American College. We were planning on having him in this hour of the show, but he actually had to report for duty at 4 o'clock Rome time, and so that's why we had to have it for the first hour of the program. And I made a mental note to tell Andrew, let's save this and share it with our listeners in the EWTN Hour of Catholic Connection. So that's our program for today. I do hope you can stay tuned for the entire 2 hours. Right now, there's a ton of news to get through, including, as we said, that heat wave that's hitting the country, and also, of course, the big news and developments that are happening with the Bishops' Conference. Stay tuned to EWTN News Nightly, Catholic News Agency, all of our programming here, the National Catholic Register. We're all covering the events that are taking place with the virtual Bishops' Conference, which began this week. Alrighty then, 5 minutes past the hour, so let's move ahead and see what's happening on a Wednesday in and around the world, or Thursday, excuse me, in and around the world. While some bishops yesterday pushed for no time limits in debating a motion to draft a teaching document on the Eucharist, during their meeting this week, Catholic News Agency telling us a majority opposed that push, allowing for a vote to proceed under the normal limits of debate. As Bishop Thomas Papracki of Springfield telling EWTN News Nightly yesterday, the topic of communion has been an issue of extensive discussion, especially regarding worthiness to receive communion in regard to Catholic politicians who support permissive legislation on grave evils such as abortion and euthanasia.
The urgency of the question is the fact that President Biden and other Catholic politicians are taking a position that is very contrary to church teaching, especially with regard to marriage and transgender issues and same-sex marriage and pro-life issues. And so that's just one issue. But we're also seeing the question that we really want to address the whole understanding that people have of the Eucharist, do people really understand what the church teaches about the Eucharist, and our own actions must be consistent with the way we live our lives, our faith, our actions must be consistent with each other. And so it's an important issue, not just for politicians, but actually for every Catholic to really look at what we understand by the Eucharist.
That's Bishop Thomas Papracki from Springfield, Illinois. Before the vote on the document this afternoon, there will be a period of debate governed by rules and time limits as part of the conference's parliamentary procedures. Meanwhile, the head of the USCCB is calling for unity, Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles making the plea yesterday during his opening address of the Bishops' Spring Meeting. Gomez saying they're living through some very extraordinary times, including the shutdown of civilization in the church due to COVID-19, social division, and riots as well. Archbishop Gomez telling fellow bishops that only a church that is united can heal the brokenness and challenge the injustices that are now being seen very clearly. The Jesuit Church of St. Joseph in the Lebanese capital of Beirut is set to open its doors again next month. As Lydia O'Kane from Vatican News tells us, this follows the August 2020 dockside blast that killed hundreds of people and caused extensive damage to a number of buildings, including the church.
The church has been restored with the help of Catholic charity Aid to the Church in Need. Jesuit Father Salah Abdraoud told ACN that the supply and installation of the new wood doors will be completed by the end of next week. He also noted that as the painting and electrical works near completion, the installation of the false ceiling is also due to start. Last year's blast killed 200 people and injured thousands more when 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate ignited in a Docklands warehouse. Farid Hakime is the engineer overseeing the church's restoration. He said most of the wooden windows and doors were destroyed. The pitched roof was severely affected too. The other damage included all the original woodwork being torn off by the blast, damage to the false ceiling and lighting fixtures, as well as to the timber structure supporting the pitched roof, which lost most of its tiles. Mr. Hakime added, "You could see many cracks in the ceiling of the church and many other areas caused by the blast." According to Aid to the Church in Need, St. Joseph Church, which was built in 1875, supports a number of different communities, holding Mass in French on Sunday evening, as well as Sunday morning Masses in English and in Arabic in the Maronite Rite. With Lebanon's economy heavily impacted by the collapse of the Lebanese pound, the funds for the church repairs, which amount to $400,000, are more vital than ever. ACN has continued to support Lebanon's Christian community with more than $6 million in aid following the August 2020 dockside blast, including emergency aid and repairs for church buildings in the capital's historic Christian quarter.
The Southern Baptist Convention will investigate allegations of sexual abuse and cover-up. On the final day of their annual meeting in Nashville yesterday, delegates voting to create a task force to lead an investigation. That task force will be appointed by newly elected President Ed Linton. Leaked letters written by the former president of the SBC's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission allege the convention's executive committee mishandled sexual abuse claims and mistreated victims as well. Reporter Rory O'Neill tells us a heat wave, as we mentioned earlier, enveloping parts of the West, and forecasters are warning this could last for days.
At 134 degrees, Death Valley, California holds the record as having the hottest temperature ever recorded. And this week, that record could be threatened. The heat wave started over the weekend, pushing temps over 100 in Salt Lake City. On average, temperatures are running 15 to 25 degrees above normal. Even in places like Phoenix, meteorologists say this kind of heat will be dangerous. Higher temperatures are putting a strain on the electrical grid in the West as homes and businesses crank up the AC for relief.
Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida says his state is answering a plea for help from Texas and Arizona. He says he's sending law enforcement resources to address what he calls both a crisis and an emergency to secure the southern border.
Today, we're here to announce that the state of Florida is answering the call. Florida is going to support Texas and Arizona. Where the federal government has failed, the states are stepping up and doing our best to fill the void.
Surrounded by sheriffs from around the state and an office in Pensacola, the governor is saying a number of local and state agencies, from the Florida Highway Patrol to the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission to local sheriff's offices, have already answered that call to send reinforcements to fellow departments out west to help stem the flow of illegal migrants crossing the border. And Texas Governor Greg Abbott, meanwhile, as Bob Brown tells us, now announcing a $250 million down payment for the construction of a wall on the border with Mexico.
Governor Abbott providing a framework for how the state will build the wall, including hiring a program manager and contractors to estimate the total cost. He says the wall will be built on land already owned by state and local government. Private landowners will also be allowed to donate land. Abbott is hoping the feds will return land to private property owners, that land supposedly seized by the Trump administration for construction of the previously planned wall. He promised transparency on the wall, saying two government agencies will oversee the funds. Meantime, Trump plans a visit to the Mexican border later in the month.
Republicans and Democrats are clashing over an immigration reform bill to address those who arrived illegally in the country as children. Republican Texas Senator John Cornyn saying he wants a citizenship pathway for so-called Dreamers, but the 2021 Dream and Promise Act goes way too far.
The American Dream and Promise Act would not just apply to those who've come to our country as children. This would extend a pathway to citizenship to adults.
He fears the bill would prompt more Central Americans to pay smugglers for a deadly trip to the border. Pediatricians across the country, as Elisa Zee explains, say more attention needs to be paid to children's mental health.
Amy Knight, president of the Children's Hospital Association, says we need to approach mental health the same way we approach physical health.
You know, I think some of the early warning signs are often missed or easily dismissed by parents and even sometimes by people in positions of authority. It's seen as bad behavior in school.
Knight says that as kids are getting ready to head back to school this fall, we can expect higher levels of anxiety. Early diagnosis and treatment, she says, are critical.
A German drug maker taking a hit today after revealing disappointing results in a COVID vaccine study. Shares of CureVac tumbling in early trading and early analysis of its clinical trial, showing the vaccine was only 47% effective. Final numbers are due in 2 weeks. Joe Biden is waking up back at the White House after ending his overseas trip. He wrapped up yesterday by meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. He claims the talks went well and that he was candid about human rights issues, cyber attacks, and election meddling. Zillow says, as Matt Mattinson explains, the average price of a home, well, it's going to cost us more. It's up by 13%, as well as typical rent prices. Well, they're up by more than 5%.
The typical home price was just over $287,000 in May 2020. Cities that experienced the biggest hikes were Austin, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, and Salt Lake City, Utah. Economists say prices are higher due to low mortgage rates, low supply, and increased demand for more space. Typical rent is also up to just over $1,700 per month across the U.S.
14 minutes past the hour. Happy Thursday. It's June 17th. June is a big month for weddings. Pope put out a beautiful message about marriage, the sacrament of marriage, and encouraging couples to take that sacrament more seriously. We'll get a response from our marriage experts, Julie and Greg Alexander from the Alexander House. Our Mornings on Marriage segment for this month, it's coming up next. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net. Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Past the hour. It's a Thursday. It's June 17th. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Always a pleasure to speak to two of my favorite peeps in the whole wide world who do such an amazing job on helping couples who are going through a crisis in their marriage, but also in promoting the beauty of marriage and the sacrament of marriage and what the church teaches us about God's plan for marriage. And that's why I wanted to have Julie and Greg Alexander from the Alexander House address a beautiful video that the Holy Father did for his prayer intentions for the month of June, all about marriage. So good morning to you two lovebirds. So Jules, how goes the battle there, sister in Texas? How you doing?
I love your words. You're right. It's a battle. It's going good. And I don't know how a battle can go good, but we're doing the best we can.
Well, you're doing a great job. Well, let me ask, go to your husband first. And Greg, your thoughts. So we sent you the link. I thought the video was beautiful. There were English subtitles, and the Holy Father, I think, really saying, recognizing that June is a big month for weddings, and yet there's not enough emphasis put on what we're actually encountering when we decide to go up the aisle and get married in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that was going to be my comment exactly, Teresa, because a beautiful message. But how often do we hear this message, and how often do we need to hear this message? And so a great start. I would love to see priests and bishops follow up on that message by, you know, maybe having more homilies talking about marriage, the importance of marriage, what it consists of. Even going to the prayers of the faithful, let's pray for marriage, and let's show couples that we as a church support you in this vocation that you're being called to. But we just don't hear it enough. So, again, I think it was a beautiful message, great start, but I just like to hear more on a consistent basis.
Julie, your thoughts?
Yes, I agree, Teresa, in the context of I love the fact that it was stated, that he stated that there it was a difficult journey. It's not easy. It's a long, lifelong, lasting commitment that you're making, which is a call from the heart. And I am telling you, I love the fact that he said that you cannot do it alone. It's the catechism says man and woman cannot achieve what God intended them to achieve without his help. And so we can't do this without God. So I love the fact that he stated that yes, Jesus has to be a part, But I also like to take it to the next level, as you know. Why does Jesus need to be a part? Because the devil is real and he hates marriage. He hates marriage because it's an image of God.
Right.
And God, he hates God. He wants to destroy God. And I'm telling you, with the calls that we get on a daily basis, Teresa, there is a battle. You're right. We are in a war, an all-out war, and it's against marriage and the family. And so much needs to be done.
Yeah. And what I really thought was important is the fact that he mentioned that the Christian community has to be involved. We don't think about that, right? I mean, we just think, oh, you know, we're getting married and isn't this wonderful. We're going to have a beautiful mass, and then we're going to have a great reception and honeymoon, and then we go off into the sunset and everything is fine. But when you are making this statement as getting married in a church, you are giving a public witness, correct? And the community is supposed to be there to support you. Greg, your thoughts?
Absolutely. But again, we can't support if we don't know what's going on. You know, mm-hmm. So do we even know in our parish who's preparing for marriage? You know, it's one of the things, Teresa, back when we were trying to get parishes in the mindset of having a dedicated ministry in the parish, one of the things we were asking the parishes to do was to have a big billboard in the narthex in the church. And on that billboard, you can have something say like, we ask you for your prayers for our upcoming marriage. Have a picture of the couple, have their names. Have their wedding day so the people know that, hey, this couple is getting married. So when they see them in the parish, they can encourage them. They can help them. They can show that we are here to support you. But again, we don't even know who's getting married in our parish until we drive by the church and see the parking lot crowded and people walking out throwing rice.
They don't even do that anymore, honey. He hasn't been in a while throwing rice. They can't do that. Blowing bubbles, whatever they do.
Right, the rice. Yeah, that's true. That stopped a while ago. Go ahead, Julie, what you're going to say.
But Teresa, it's a challenging topic, as you can tell, that we're like, it sounds great and wonderful, but gosh, I just want, as you said, it's a community, but where does that community start? In the family. I just have to be honest with you that the last weekend we heard the most, well, it was just sad. This kid, that just beautiful, darling, handsome young man, who has remained a virgin, and he was talked about, laughed at in college, and it's a decent college. I won't mention the name. But he said, you know what these people say today in college? They call it a body count. How many people have you been with? What's the body count up to? I'm like, that's what you say when there's dead people. What is the body count? I'm just at this point where we as parents need to start the community that you're talking about, Teresa, to tell our children and teach our children that it is right and normal and good that we remain chaste and pure before marriage. But again, every movie you see, every comment you look at, every, you know, all the music videos and things like that that kids are watching, it's all backwards. It's they don't even build a friendship. They're building something else that's built as... hello, who knows that, Greg and I, built on the wrong foundation, which is not of God. So Jesus needs to be the beginning, not an add-on. It's like, I thought of that this morning before we got on today. It's like, Jesus, take the wheel. Well, we've kicked him out of the bus, and we're expecting him to stop the bus from falling.
Yeah,
he needs to be there at the beginning, not an add-on at the end when we're all in trouble.
You know, and the other issue, too, in terms of we see all this, it's all sex all the time, 24/7, everywhere, this over-sexualized culture, Greg. We see these programs that are talking about marriage, but only in who has the best wedding, who has the best reception, who has the best food, and you have this program called Four Weddings. And not that it's a bad program or anything, and they talk about the dresses, and the brides rate each other, and whoever gets the most points wins a honeymoon, whatever. But there's no emphasis on the actual relationship and what has been done to prepare them. It is all about just the physical aspects of who has the best dress and the best reception. You see that over and over again.
Yeah, simply kind of drawing to the entertainment aspect of the relationship.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's the same mindset that these young people are buying into. So they're expecting in the marriage to be entertained all the time. And when you no longer entertain me the way in which I feel that I need to be entertained, then I have to find somebody else. And again, sadly enough, a young couple came to us last year for marriage preparation. After two sessions, they stopped. She reported to her parents that this couple has given us all this crazy God stuff and all this stuff that we don't need. So they stopped coming to marriage preparation. Well, they got married, and we just heard last week they're already divorced. Not even a year married yet.
Wow.
It was a month. 1 month.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you. And Teresa, Greg and I, each time we say, okay, we're not shocked. but it saddens us each and every time. But as you said, Teresa, it starts with that the community coming together to support each other, because what's happened is everyone's kind of gone off on their own, and they act as though marriage is an island in and of itself. It can't last. It can't make it. It's not an island. And even to the point where even the preparation, as you said, Teresa, it's all about how much money is being spent on the preparation. And then sadly, it's usually tripled if they don't work on their relationship and they don't have a relationship with God. It's usually tripled or quadrupled on the money they spend to get a divorce. And no money is spent to work on, let's go on a retreat beforehand and find out who I am, who you are, what's going on. Not the 24-hour, 48-hour marriage prep in the church that says, okay, check the box, let's get this done so we can allow you to get married in the church. And that goes back again to the family. It's not all the church's problem. It's the church's problem. It's not the church's fault to an extent. The parents, we have got to start doing a better job.
Well, the church says that the primary responsibility of educating, you know, the family in terms of the faith is it starts in the domestic household. It's a domestic church, and the parents have to have, you know, that responsibility and take it seriously and not just leave it up to the church. Not that the church doesn't have its responsibilities and shouldn't be doing more, as we just mentioned, but where have the families been as well? They're supposed to be working in conjunction with the church. More on this issue with Julie and Greg Alexander from the Alexander House, thealexanderhouse.org. We do once a month a segment, Mornings on Marriage, addressing the sacrament of marriage and the importance of it in our lives and in the world. More with them coming up on a Thursday morning. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life. Lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's a Thursday morning. We check in, or try to at least once a month, if not more, with Greg and Julie Alexander from the Alexander House. Get a copy of their book, Marriage 911, How God Saved Their Marriage and Can Save Yours Too. It's a great book, and it's their journey. They were, you know, a couple that was lost, that was broken, and then they discovered through a very wonderful priest the actual teachings of the church. And I think we should all entitle our books, Wow, Where Have I Been? I Could Have Had a V8, right? And hit ourselves across the head. Because we had the same experience. We're like, look at this. Wow, I didn't know this. This is amazing. Where have we been all these years? Anyhow, your materials are excellent. I know you have a big project you're working on in Texas. But this morning I wanted you to kind of, and you're doing this and such a great job of it, helping us understand the importance of a community working together, a Christian community, to support marriage. We were discussing during the break that Deacon Dom and I are working with our pastor at our parish here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, not only to work with young people who are about to be married, who need to go through marriage prep, but his concern is that when he talks to these couples, when he first meets with them, he finds out that the only reason they're getting married in the church, and I'm sure you guys have heard this before, oh, well, my parents want me to get married in the Catholic Church. They want the backdrop, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, okay, we're going to do this. So just let me know what I have to do so we can check this off the list. Now obviously, he does whatever he can to work with them and doesn't want to push them away. But at the same time, how do you reach them? And Greg, I'll go to you first. When you mentioned that one couple that says, oh, this crazy marriage couple is talking about all this God stuff, and then they get married, and you know, within just a month or two, they're divorced, their marriage is broken down. How do you reach those people that don't have that relationship with Christ to tell them that they're not going to make it without a relationship with Christ? Where do you start?
Yeah, it's so hard, Teresa, to reach them because they typically only come back to the church when it's time to get married. So they haven't been here in the first place, which takes us back to the point that Julie illustrated earlier. We, as a married couple, have to understand that we are our children's marriage preparation. So they should, for those 18, 20, 25 years of being in their parents' home, they should have been given the proper model as to what marriage looks like. In fact, they should be going to the church wanting nothing but God in the center of their lives, because that's what they've seen mom and dad do. But unfortunately, we live in a society today where more than half of the marriages are ending in divorce, so they have no point of reference to see what marriage should even look like in the first place. They don't know what they don't know. So therefore, they don't even know that God should be a part, and now this person is telling me all this God stuff that is totally foreign to me because I've never seen God lived in my parents' relationship, or my parents are not even together, which again, you know, us coming together, living our marriage properly, becomes and should be a reflection of God. Well, if the parents are divorced, there is no God in the home. And so we're trying to get them to try to incorporate something in their lives that is just totally foreign to them. So having, again, to go back with mom and dads to really learn what God's plan for marriage is, but more importantly, to live it and to be that example for the children.
What do you do, Julie, in a 911 situation, though? As Greg said, we know that there has to be more preparation, more discussion, more examples. But what do you do when you get a couple that wants to get married in the church and you don't want to lose them? Any suggestions? A lot of people listening are probably volunteers or working in some sort of marriage prep and may be frustrated by what they're seeing and hearing from these young couples. Any suggestions that might spark an interest in God and these people who basically have been living without him for so many years?
Yes, again, as in Teresa, we know a beautiful couple here in San Antonio that does just that. They express to them why it's important to get married in the church. What does that mean? Explaining it to them, not making it all about what it looks like, what it seems like, what it's going to look like that day, but taking them back through the greater understanding. What is God's plan for marriage? What are some of the things that we do? What are some, right now it was just beautiful. We have a priest in Kentucky who has asked our son and daughter-in-law, our daughter and son-in-law, to do marriage prep for his church because what they give them is exactly what they learned from everything, I'll say Greg, that Greg put together and gave them an understanding. These kids are coming to them saying, oh, we already know what we're going to do. We're just coming to here because our priest wants us to.
Right.
And when they get into the program and they start hearing that God has a plan and there's a reason and an issue that he has for everything, every time they walk away after those six or seven sessions, these couples are renewed. They are excited. They now have a greater understanding of why it's important to get married in the church, not just because mom and dad said to, but now I've been given the understanding and the reality of, oh my gosh, this is so important.
And I attribute that fact, Teresa, to they have an opportunity to meet with another couple that has walked that road, and more importantly, someone that they can relate to, not someone who's 20, 30 years their senior trying to tell us how to live marriage, but they have someone that's on their level, if you will. And again, I just have to express the great work that our daughter Lauren and her husband Forrest have been doing, because the priests actually have been asking his parishioners to financially support the Alexander House in his effort in marriage preparation because of what the five couples that he has sent to Lauren and Forrest have received. And that's just a beautiful testament to the work that they're doing. But it also demonstrates how we need to get some of the younger married couples in the parishes involved in marriage preparation as well. And my favorite model is the sponsor couple model, because you're not just bringing a couple there for the weekend throwing a bunch of stuff at them and sending them on their way. They're there to grow in relationship with that couple that is a part in the life of the parish, who is there to continue to invite that couple, the newly married couple, to become a part of the life of the parish as well. And so I think doing it in that sponsored couple model and having that relationship with someone in the church to be there to continue to pray for them, to be that source for them when they hit those difficult times, but more importantly, to continue to extend that invitation for them to be a part in the life of the church.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, having younger couples that can relate more closely in age to those who are about to, you know, take the important step of marriage. Because if they say, well, they're my age, this is important to them, I can relate to them more closely than I could say, you know, maybe somebody in their 50s or 60s. And then maybe as they're coming along in that sponsorship, they can meet with the old folks like us. What do you think?
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
The old folks like you and Julie.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still 29.
Hey, oh, yeah. Real quick, I just want to say it's a challenge to those listening, Teresa, that have kids. How much time do we spend encouraging them to go to the greatest schools, to do all the sports, to do all the, make sure that this is done, that is done, that to look at the image, their jobs, how, you know, what are you going to do for a living? How much money are you going to make? How much time do we give to speaking about God and our relationship with Jesus Christ and Mother Mary and the church? Because again, you get back to that point where what we're seeing now is parents are finding out after the fact, oh, mom and dad, I don't want to get married in the church, or, oh, and then they panic and they go, oh my gosh, what do we do? And they try to force and shove it in their children's faces, their laps. And the kids are like going, wait a minute, why are you saying it's important now when it didn't appear to be that important when I was growing up?
Yeah, so there's a lot we can do now to really encourage marriage. All right, well, let me give you a chance one more time, Greg, to let's plug the website and let folks know all the great information and all the great programs you have through the Alexander House.
Yeah, you can reach us at www.thealexanderhouse.org. That's alexanderhouse.org. And as you mentioned before, Teresa, we are now at our new campus. We're building buildings, we're painting, we're doing all kind of things to do exactly what we're talking about here today, to be able to equip not only those preparing for marriage, but those who are already married to understand their vocation, as the four of us have had to come to and to understand, but to be equipped with that knowledge, not only intellectually, but now what do we need to do on a daily basis within the confines of our domestic church to make this a lived experience so that we can allow the Jesus that's supposed to be a part to be a part.
Amen. Thanks, you too. Keep up the great work, thealexanderhouse.org. Coming up, interview I did with a Swiss guard 2 weeks ago today. It took place at the beautiful North American College in Rome. You'll hear his journey and how important God is to him and why he wanted to serve as a Swiss guard to protect the Holy Father, the Vicar of Christ. We'll be right back.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Why is the calling on the name of Jesus so powerful? According to the Catholic Catechism, to pray Jesus is to invoke him and to call him within us. We are welcoming the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. A simple invocation developed through tradition in both East and West and transmitted by the spiritual writers of the Sinai, Syria, and Mount Athos is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. Through this prayer, the human heart is open to human wretchedness and the Savior's mercy. Invoking the holy name of Jesus is the simplest way of praying always. If the heart is humbly attentive, the prayer is not lost by heaping up empty phrases. It holds fast to the word and brings forth fruit with patience. The prayer of the church also honors the heart of Jesus and the way of the cross, which we call making the stations. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Continuing our coverage live from Rome, the Eternal City. And many of you, if you've not been to the Vatican, you've at least seen the beautiful pictures, maybe of the audience or a special event the Holy Father was doing. And you always see those very proper men dressed in these beautiful uniforms. And, of course, that's a Swiss guard, and they're literally guarding the Pope. And, of course, I've spent some time and so gracious for the wonderful work now of Dr. Mario Enzler, who was a Swiss guard during the reign of John Paul II and has written books and is a wonderful speaker and has been a guest on this show and shares his experience. But I never actually have interviewed a Swiss guard who is actually currently working as a Swiss guard, so this is an honor. So we have here in the studios at the North American College, his name is John Andrea Bossi. So thank you for coming all the way over. I know it's not that far around the corner, but it's a real privilege for me to actually interview an active Swiss guard. So tell us, first of all, how long you've been with the Swiss guard. Just give us a little bit of background, if you would.
All right. Thank you all. I've started my service this year on 3rd January, so about 6 months now.
And what's it been like for you? Just can you give us a typical day in the life of a Swiss guard? It just seems so just so interesting and so important what you do.
Yeah, I can. We have different types of services. So it's possible that you work in the morning, early in the morning until midday. It's also possible that you work the afternoon or in the night. So technically we're controlling that no one will enter the Vatican that isn't allowed to. We are at the entrance of the Vatican. We're in the Apostolic Palace and we are like, we guard everything, that everything is going on how it should be.
What is it like when you're at, for example, when the crowds were bigger, obviously? I know you've only been there since January, but it must be when now the crowds are getting a little bit bigger during the general audience. Is it ever make you nervous to see so many people? Because your eyes probably have to be everywhere, right? Because you're guarding the Pope.
Until now, I haven't been really nervous. Because I've been to Rome where there were, before COVID, there were thousands of people there. Mm-hmm. Now it's more interesting now. I can live more in the guard life. And until now, I have to say it's going on pretty well.
Why did you decide to become a Swiss guard? And two questions, how does one go about becoming a Swiss guard?
All right, I'll answer this question first.
Okay.
So you have to be a Catholic Swiss man between 19 years and a maximum of 30 years, and you have to be into military. You have to worked or school. You have to go mm-hmm. went to school.
Mm-hmm.
Then. Yeah, you have to be a practicing Catholic. You can be engaged or you can have a girlfriend, but if you want to enter the Swiss Guard, you can't be married.
Okay, all right.
So that's the things you have to do or you have to be if you want to become a Swiss Guard.
And why did you want to become a Swiss Guard?
I wanted to become a Swiss Guard because I wanted to serve God in the first way and to serve the Catholic Church. And I've been to Rome before. And I've seen the Swiss Guards. I had friends that were also Swiss Guards, and I talked to them. I talked to our priest from where I live, and that's why I decided to become a Swiss Guard, to serve God and the Church.
It's a very unique way, though, to serve God and the Church,
It is, yeah. But it's a great honor for all of us. It's unique because there are not many people in this world who have the possibility to become a Swiss Guard. As I said, you have to be Swiss man, not married, that a lot of things you have to do or to be that you can become a Swiss Guard. So for me, it's an honor, great honor.
There must be a lot of physical training that's required because it's a difficult, physically it seems like a difficult job because you have to maintain, if you're guarding outside the Vatican, you have to maintain a certain position and yet be also concentrating. So there's a lot of physical and mental work that goes into it, right?
Yeah. The thing is, we are always standing and we are always walking and standing. And it's, if you stand there for, hours and hours, you're standing, it's like, it's hard. And physically, that's why it's hard. And mentally, you have to always be awake. You have to be aware of every situation. So it can be really tough, even now if it...
If it's hot,
it can be hard, but... For me, it's okay.
Well, this is really so interesting. I have so many questions, and I know you have to get back soon. But in terms of your faith, what was important to you faith-wise to be? You wanted to serve the Catholic Church, but you could have done a lot of different things. So what was it about the Swiss Guard that was so appealing to you for service? Because it, I'm just wondering, because it is a huge responsibility.
I like the military life, so I like to serve in uniform. I like, and as a Swiss Guard, you have the possibility to see things, to get near the church in a way that maybe a priest can't. It's like a priest in, I don't know, in Switzerland can't get as close as to the Pope as we can, or as close to the heart of the church, the Vatican, as we can. We have the ability to see the gardens when we want. We can go to the Basilica. We can do a lot of things in the Vatican and outside of the Vatican in Rome. And it's, that's why I wanted to become a Swiss Guard, because the opportunities and the things you can do in your free time and in your service, that are a lot.
Yeah, it is. I come to Rome quite a bit, but because of COVID, I haven't been here for obviously almost 2 years. And to be back in St. Peter's Square today, we were in the Vatican Museums, and you never get tired of it. You never get tired of the beauty. You never get tired of the meaning, especially the arms, the archways, the arms welcoming you. So in your own faith journey, what will you do? How long will you serve, and what will you do after? Do you know yet?
That's a good question. I will serve the 2 years that we have to, and I told myself, if I really like or I love what I do, I will stay maybe a year or 2 years more. I will see. But after that, maybe I will go back to Switzerland, I want to study, and I want to serve the church or to serve God my whole life. In what way, I don't know yet, but I think I will see it here in Rome. And that's also a thing why I became Swiss Guard, to get to know myself and to get to know what God wants from me and in what way I can serve him.
So it's a process of discernment then for
you
to be a Swiss Guard.
Yes.
That continues. That's just beautiful. If you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, we're having a fascinating conversation with a Swiss Guard, a very important role this young man plays in helping to protect the life of the popes. His name is Jean-Andrea Bossi, and he's in studio with us here at the North American College. I can imagine that being around, because I know what it does for me when I come here, being around the Vatican so often, it just reminds you of the beauty and the depth of the Catholic Church, right?
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right.
What does it mean to you to see that every day?
For me, it's a great honor to see the beauty of the Church, to serve the Church, to see the beauty of the faith, the beauty of God's creation and what man built. And for me, it's every day a new force in my faith. I can grow my faith here. And the other side is sometimes you see or you hear things that are not it's not that good. But,
there are things that happen, but that's been happening since the beginning of the church.
Since the beginning, never changed. Yeah. No, but I'm focused on the good things.
Good for you.
Bad things happen, and we can learn from it,
right?
And
we don't ignore them, but we don't focus on them, right?
We can do better, right. So it's a process.
Did you ever think about, this is just a question, I'm a reporter, I'm going to throw it out there, are you discerning the priesthood maybe, do you think? Or maybe you're thinking about a vocation?
I've thought about it, yes, but at the moment I can't tell, because in my opinion that's a thing that I can't decide by myself. It's something that God should tell me. And so I thought about it, but I I will give it in God's hand. I will lay it in God's hand. And
you haven't received the answer yet as to whether that, yeah. that's for you. That's fine. That's what discernment's all about. My husband is a deacon in the Catholic Church.
Oh, that's great.
They would tell him even right before he was ordained that you're discerning all the way up. And then even after, because your role as a deacon or whatever you're doing in anyone's life, it could change at any given point. So what do you like to do to help you strengthen yourself faith-wise? Obviously, you have the beauty of the Catholic Church there. You have the Vatican. You have the religious art. What else do you do to help you in your faith? Do you pray the rosary in your head while you're standing there? I mean, any kind of interesting things that you do?
Oh, that's a good question. I pray the rosary, yes. And when we are doing the Sentinella, we call it, where we're standing there, mm-hmm. and that's an honor service of honor, mm-hmm. or honor service, yes. 2 hours just standing still, I always pray the rosary, and also in free time. So that's how I grow in faith. And I call my priest back in the town where I live, mm-hmm. or where I lived. I call my friends, or I read a book, so that keep my faith life.
Get to go to Mass at St. Peter's, I'm sure, quite a bit, right?
Yes, yeah. And also in our Swiss Guard chapel, always.
Okay, one last question, and maybe you're not supposed to answer this, but have you met the Pope?
I've met him, yes.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yes.
Was that fun?
Oh, it's something, it's hard to describe. You get to see him as close as we are here right now. I've seen him also in the audience 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's something, I can't describe it. I think millions of people want to see the Pope, want to get close to him, and we... Sometimes we have the ability to really see him as close as we are here now.
Yeah.
So it's something very special and something I appreciate a lot.
So how many days a week do you work? Is it five? You're on a certain shift, 5 days, 6 days, or how does the schedule work?
Yes, our shift is like this. We have three squares, three groups, mm-hmm. I'd say, and we work 6 days, and then we have 3 days where we are free, and not really free. It should be days we are off, but it's possible that they will give us service then, or if something special is happening, they can call us. So it's like 6 days work and 3 days, let's say, off, and maybe they call you to go into the service or. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a busy schedule and it's a tough schedule. How did you first hear about the Swiss Guard? I mean, is it very well known because of where you're from?
And where I'm from, it was well known because from the town where I'm from, I'm the 8th guard.
Oh, yes. Wow.
And as I told in the beginning, I know three friends of me that were also Swiss Guards, and yeah, they motivated me to become a Swiss Guard too.
And your family must be very proud.
Yes, yeah. And they are very happy. And my mother will come in 2 days.
Oh, nice.
Rome. Yes,
oh,
she will visit me.
Good. When's the last time you were able to see your mother?
A month ago. Uh-huh. That was when the swearing-in was.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. So she's going to be so proud. So how often do you get to go back and visit? Do you have to stay? Can you go back if you have your time off? Are you allowed?
We can... In a vacation.
Okay, vacation. You do get a vacation.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to let you go because I know you have a busy day ahead. Thank you. It was so nice to meet you.
Thank you.
And I know that you were also interviewed by EWTN Television, I understand.
Yes.
Yes. So how was that?
Oh, that was great. That was very special with all the cameras. I was
in uniform or were you just plain clothes?
No, I was in uniform.
Well, this is radio. They couldn't see you in uniform anyway. But I just wondered. It's great. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you, and God bless you. And it's so nice to know that when we see you out there, and just to hear just one little story about what drew someone to the Swiss Guard to have such a big responsibility, which has so much history in guarding the chair of Peter, the Pope. So God bless you.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay.
Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Thursday. Coming up tomorrow on a Friday morning, always look forward to checking in with Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer of the network. Give us an inside scoop, the latest on great programming. That way you can plan your days around it or set the DVR, all that good stuff. And then we're also going to be talking about a beautiful new pastoral note from my Archbishop, Alan Vigneron, all about beauty and truth. And it came out on the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, very appropriate. Father Charlie Fox will be joining me. He has a media background. He's also soon to be the Associate Rector of Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. So that will be our Fact Check Friday. We're going to dive more deeply into this message, because it really gives us some great instruction on how we are to discern all these messages that are coming at us, and to look at those that are being done even in so-called Catholic settings that are mostly negative and not really producing any good fruit. And the only type of bad fruit they're producing is negativity and fear and discouragement and division. So we'll take a look at that. And of course, we will be chatting with you tomorrow on a Friday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, all of our programs are archived at AveMariaRadio.net, as well as the links to the resources we provide for you. Have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.